Welcome, welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Morning Fellowship Call. We are here. It's our inspirational call, and we are excited that you are on the line because we are talking about the most amazing topic, Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child, and we are excited that you are here joining in with us this morning, getting ready to kick off just another amazing word. Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child. There's so many misconceptions of what this actually means, and I'm so happy that we're digging into it. So let's move forward quickly so we can get deep into this word, and let's do so with our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning, Ms. Tiana.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Great, thank you.
Okay. We do welcome everybody to the call this morning, and we've been talking this whole week about sparing the rod is spoiling the child. On Wednesday, we talked about the parenting. This morning, I'm going to talk, more so directed towards the kids. Okay. So something is hard. There's something that's inevitable. We have to have it. A lot of times, we confuse the two, especially when we step outside of God. I've gotten a lot of requests to explain a lot of things because I love my child and yada, yada, yada. And it's all good. But if your love supersedes God, something's wrong. As a matter of fact, if your love is not God, something's wrong. As a matter of fact, if your love is not the example of God's love towards you, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, the Bible says, cast down any wicked imagination. Anything that tries to exalt itself above God. In other words, if anything tries to sit in the seat where God sits as the head of your life, cast it down. Even our own thoughts, lean not to your own understanding. We can't say our way is better than his way. How did he do his son? How does he do us? So how should we parent? We have a great example. Okay? But we're going to talk about that this morning. With that being said, Ms. Tanya, you want to go ahead and open us up with prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and just want to say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to fellowship with you. Thank you for just loving on us, to showing us the way of your word, Heavenly Father, so that you are directing, your word has directed and guiding us to be whom you call us to be. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for this gift, because with this gift, Heavenly Father, we know exactly how it is we are to be in this world. We know exactly how it is to stand up and take authority in your word. We know how it is because you have gifted us your son to show us exactly how it is that we're supposed to live. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader, and we thank you for the word that's about to go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty. So, y'all, we're talking about sparing the rod, spoiling the child. Okay? I want to open up with this scripture right here. In Luke 14:26. Well, this is about the blessing of time. Luke, y'all write it down. I'll put it in your phone. Luke 14:26. Again, there's Luke 14:26. Ms. Tiana, can you read that for everyone, please? Y'all, I hope y'all writing this down. I'll put it in your phones if you're on the cell phone. But Luke 14:26, what you got?
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Amen.
Disciple is discipline. Discipline is disciple. In other words, people refuse correction. Now, this is very, very, very important when it comes to godly parenting. Notice I said godly parenting. This is extremely important. godly parenting. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father and mother, wife and children, brothers and, now hold on, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such, see, remember I spoke on Wednesday, for those who wasn't on the call, I spoke on the scripture, we all know this famous, famous scripture, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians, y'all remember that? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I mean, you know, I understood like a child. I even thought like a child. When I was a child, he's talking about when I was in the world. When I was in the world, I spoke like the world. I thought like the world. I understood like the world. But now that I'm an adult, but now that I have seen God embrace righteousness, now that I am a child of God, now that I am righteous in God, born again, now I put away those childish things. That don't mean I know, see, that don't mean that I don't understand what they are, where they are, but I put them away. I put them away. Have you noticed something? boy, can I say it, Miss Dale?
Come on.
Rod for the child. Huh? God has defeated sin, defeated Satan. Has he destroyed it? No. Boy,
come on.
He's
come on.
If he destroyed it, it would not be existing anymore. He uses it. He puts it away, but he uses it. Simply because of this. It's for our benefit.
Amen.
Because if God destroys something, you know that's a done deal. As they would say in the world, done data. Ain't that something?
It is.
That he puts it away. So I know what I know how to be childish. But the thing is, I won't be. But if I'm to ever get on that child's level so that they can understand, sometimes I need to get on their level so they can see how to come up out of it, not for me to stay there. As a matter of fact, God had to get on our, he was in the world but not of the world. It looked like he was childish because of his flesh. As a matter of fact, Jesus almost had a childish moment. This is why God gave Mary, she had a partner named Joseph. He gave them a responsibility. But also, look at how he handled this. Both of them had to be in God to raise God. You got to hear what I'm saying. Come on, Mr. DJ. They had to be in God to raise God.
Yes.
Other than that, that child is going to have to fend for themselves. Anybody ever know someone who has been molested as a child? Has that not affected them in, even until the natural adulthood?
Yes, it has.
So tell me about some godly parenting then. Would they not remember the teachings? If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. The problem with the scripture is this. There's no problem with the scripture. The problem is the recipient, the reader, the one who understands. Because a lot of people equate the word hate as, ooh, no. No, when God is saying hate here, hate is symbolic of if it does not line up with God. If you come after me and it don't line up with me, you better defeat
come
it.
Come on.
You better not put it first. Because see, what happens is, why you think Spatteros spoiled a child? Why you think so many spouses have problems with, wives have problems with their husbands, husbands have problems with their wives? Because somebody putting the mother first before the relationship. Hello, somebody.
Come on.
Well, that's my mama. But I thought the Bible said, cleave to your spouse.
Yep.
I see it all the time. fail to watch, spoil the child. How can you tell your child about not liking, loving their thoughts, who they are? You know how many people who grow up talking about self-love? Self-love what? Show me self-love, and I'll show you the cross.
Amen.
I will break this down now. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Somebody hadn't been disciplined in God coming up. So whoever told you to love yourself first? As a matter of fact, God said, if you love me, you must hate yourself. In other words, I hate myself so much. Now, see, this is to the understanding. The childish people don't understand this. The mature people understand this. When he said, do not, you must also hate yourself, hate your mother and father, hate your siblings, brother, sister, even your spouse. What God is saying, they don't come before me. If they don't line up with me, you better correct them in me, Job. Don't be like, see, people who talk about self-love, they start to act like Adam and Eve. And you know what Adam and Eve got us in, right? But there are people who have God love, who God put first. Adam, see, didn't put God first. Adam loved his wife before he loved God.
Right.
Come on, I'm about to show people how to talk about spare the rod. Oh, yeah. And what did that mess up for the rest of eternity? For the rest of our life? Oh, huh.
Mm.
Look at this now. Look at this. Look at this. Can I show y'all something? Adam was made. But doesn't it look like Adam grew up without parent because he was already grown?
Oh, come on.
Ain't there something? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, somebody? When did you see Adam come out the womb?
He didn't.
Ain't there something?
Yes.
Ain't there something? See, to understand sparing around, spoiling child, and that's, you know, putting parameters, limits, limitations, disciplining children, that's not a bad thing. That's a necessary thing. Discipline don't mean beat and kill. It means to correct.
Yeah.
You say, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me? This is important, y'all. You need to hear this now. Okay, got to hear this. Job followed that scripture. Huh? Let me show you what hate looked like. He told his woman to hush. You don't know what you're talking about. Because she told him to curse God and die. Only because Job was trained with the rod of correction. Even he almost slipped. Because he had a problem too. But he got it right real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Hence the Bible says, have you tried my faithful servant, Job? He told Satan, I have a child that I have discipline. I didn't spare the rod on. As a matter of fact, I want you to try him. But watch this. Catch this. He said, you cannot, Miss Tiana, spare the rod for the child. You cannot, watch this, Miss Tiana, you cannot touch his soul. You can't touch his mind. But what I do give you permission to touch is his childish ways. My God. See, what happens, boy, y'all better hit me. Parents, listen, parents. What happens is God, allowed Job to be tested in his childish ways. God allowed Satan to test us in our childish ways. In other words, if you're in the world and somebody else is in the world come around you with their foolishness and you accept it, that's only because you're still there.
All right.
Huh? I hate my flesh. My flesh is childish. My flesh is petty. Huh?
Right.
You must hate, yes, even yourself. Now, who's talking about self-love? What part of self-love you talking about? It ain't in God. Because if it was in God, you wouldn't exteriorly try to beautify yourself. You would make sure that your spirit man, your spirit woman, looks much better.
Come on.
So if you're not sparing a rod on yourself, now what about your child? What about your children? What about the generation that sees you?
Amen.
What examples are we giving them? I know people don't like it. See, people don't like messages that literally pertain to them. Because you can't tell me. Well, tell me this. What does God approve of? I'm telling you his word right here. See, when it's a godly house, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How can we serve the Lord? How can your child serve the Lord when they don't see mom and dad serving the Lord? Just because you get up and go to church on Sunday don't mean that you're serving God. Come on now. Come on now. Just because you go to work don't mean that you don't want to be there. That does not mean that you want to be. Hello. Y'all with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Head open up that way. Because this is what the Bible says. In order to follow God, and I hope that we're being godly parents, because, see, it becomes a task for a child to follow God. We don't see mom and daddy following God. Notice I said see. Children are very impressionable, parents. Very impressionable. I know the adage is, do as I say, not as I do. Whoever wrote that need to go sit down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's the adage. Do as I say, not as I do. That's a weak parent. In other words, don't worry about my example. You better worry about what I told you to do. But see, you're outside of the limits, parameters, and the parental skillship of God. Your parenting is a skill set. Okay? And raising an effective child is one too. Watch this. You're outside of those parameters simply because God didn't say, do as I say, not as I do. As a matter of fact, the Bible that I read says what the Word of God couldn't do. Catch it, Miss Tiana.
Come on.
It said what the Word of God couldn't do. Catch it, Miss Tiana. What the Word of God could not do, he sent Jesus to do. In other words, he didn't say, do as I say, not as I do. He said, if you don't hear what I say, I'm giving you an example of how to do it.
Yes.
I lost somebody. See, some things people won't understand. By verbiage, by word. Some things your child won't understand by what you say, but I promise you they'll follow what you do.
Exactly.
Hello? Y'all with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Y'all, we have to have this. It is important. The Bible tells the children, responsibility, the responsibility of a child, to honor and obey your parents. But the Bible also tells parents, don't push your kids to wrath.
Exactly.
You see the dilemma we put a child in, and we shouldn't? So the correction should be on the parent before it ever gets to the child. But now, when you've done it right as a parent, children, we got some things we got to do, children. We got to put away those childish things because obedience does not have anything to do with age. Let me say it again. It has nothing to do with age. Well, you know, little Tim is just young. That he just acting up because he's young. No, little Tim ain't acting up because he's young. Little Tim is acting up because he don't know God yet. Now, I got two types of God. You got a God that's spiritual, a God that's natural. And they need to understand because they're a child of natural. Hence, Jesus came. Y'all know Jesus is an example of the perfect child, right?
Yes, sir.
Look at his obedience. Look at how he didn't disrespect Mary and Joseph, but look at how he didn't put them first because he said, you know, he came back. Why y'all tripping? I've been walking, I've been handling my business in God.
Yep.
He had been gone all day. My daddy come first. Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
That's something, y'all. The child wasn't being disrespectful. The child was, oh, y'all missing what I'm saying? Even a child can help a parent grow.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get at. A child can help a parent grow. In other words, when the child mature in God, you ever seen the child, the pastor, but the parents never was? You ever seen that? See how great that is? Spare the rod, spoil the child. That means God got to the child somehow, some way. And now, the maturity in the natural child has risen above the maturation in the parents. So now the child can literally school the parents and help them. Did y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
If that not be the case, then how did Jesus get on the cross and not Mary and Joseph? Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Five things I want to point out to parents as we talk about the children. Okay, real quickly. Number one. Okay, discipline is an unavoidable part of responsible parenting. Number one, discipline is an unavoidable part of responsible parenting. It can help. We have to do it. Write that down. The scripture I want to give with that is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Okay? It's very important. Write down Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Okay? And all this is saying is to the fathers. Verse 4. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord.
Amen.
Notice it said, don't make them angry by the way you train them. You train them. But rather yet, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. See, in other words, there's a way for you to parent and as instruction that God gave you to parent. The way that we parent can make a child angry. I don't care if they get mad or not that type of angry. It can make their lifestyle angry towards the way of God. In other words, they will start to reject anything God says only because they don't know who God is, because they never got introduced to God through discipline.
Amen.
Okay? You got it?
Yes, sir.
Don't provoke them to anger, people, parents. We know parenting is not easy, and it takes a lot of patience to raise a child. We know this because somebody was patient with us, right? But we have to discipline in a God-honoring manner. Let me say it that way. We have to. Number two, okay, disciplining your children is very painful. Disciplining your children is very painful, but we have to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody, you the parent, and you had to chastise your child? Chastise don't mean beat. Chastise means a strong, authoritative correction.
Right.
Sometimes you may spank. Sometimes you may use words, not to tear down, but to build up, ultimately. But you ever seen a parent chastise a child, and in a private time they crying afterwards?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it hurt. But every time you may have spanked them, it's like you spank it, but it hurt, right? But look at what the Bible said in Proverbs 29 and 15. Y'all write it down. Proverbs 29:15, to discipline and reprimand a child produces wisdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To discipline and reprimand a child produces wisdom. Mm-hmm. Produces God. Mm-hmm. But a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. In other words, a mother is unwise if she don't discipline her child.
Come on.
These are steps that children need to go through. Because y'all know how we say, boy, I remember how mama used, whoo, my mama looked at me one time, and I already knew. I started crying before she even touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our kids don't have no testimony whatsoever.
Come on.
I'm telling you, if you raise your voice too much at them, they'll raise their voice right back at you.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to fight a child as they get older when you discipline them when they're younger. You do know this, right?
Amen.
If you discipline the child young, you don't have to fight when they get old. Okay. Number three, careful discipline is an expression of parental love. Let me say this one again. Number three, careful discipline is an expression of parental love. Right?
Amen.
Write down Proverbs 13 and 24. I want to give you a little scripture to go with it now. Proverbs 13 and 24. The Bible says, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves, my God. Miss Tiana, I want you to read it from your Bible. Because I don't want them to say, well, he's throwing stuff in there. Proverbs 13 and 24. Y'all, careful discipline is an expression of parental love. What you got, Miss Tiana?
He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Amen.
Father Ross, Father, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them.
Come on.
That said the Lord. To correct something, this, y'all, parents, check this out, because I don't want children to grow up outside of God like that. They know what to do. It's not an excuse. They know I taught them better than that. See, you can't teach one day. Women, come on, even when it comes to relationships, and you have a relationship with your child, not the same way with that you have with your spouse, that's Eidos love, okay? This is agape love. You understand? This is your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watch this, y'all. Don't you like consistency?
Yes, indeed.
What you tell somebody? Don't spoil me now. Don't treat me good. Now take me on dates and then you'll do it later. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, what about the child? They might not like it, but the spirit, the woman in them, the man in them that is waiting to come out will love it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
No child would like it, but the adult in them would. They would love it. Because, see, I'm glad my mama stayed on me. See, a lot of us should be glad our parents stayed on us. That's why you don't have everything that everybody else have. See, they have diseases. They have spiritual disease. They have ugly ways. They have, you know, a plethora of kids that's outside of wedlock. Not saying that they can't get right in God, but what I'm saying is thank God for discipline.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Hmm? If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them, the Bible says. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them.
Yeah.
Huh? Right? Y'all see it?
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh. Y'all know that's one of our greatest responsibilities as parents, to nurture and guide our children?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
And the Bible says when we lack the skill set to discipline our children. This is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. It literally puts the parents' love in question.
Come on.
Because when has God ever not disciplined you?
Amen.
That's number three. I want to pause on number three. We'll leave it right there right now because we'll catch the other two later on. Y'all, this is important. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Children, you have to obey your godly parents. If they don't obey godly parents, you are forcing them not to obey God in the near future. That means they don't even know who God, they can't honor and respect God. How can they do it spiritually and not do it naturally?
Amen.
You know, that's a messed up situation where we can pray but we don't live. Oh, my God. Some people just exist.
Mm.
That's a messed up situation when we say, well, I got it right with God. But then we use the scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child, trying to correct people. If a man don't work, a man don't eat. Don't even understand that scripture. That's a childish way. That means I'm going to chase that bag. But see, that's a childish mindset that says I'm going to chase that bag. If a man don't work, a man don't eat. That is childish. Let me show you the maturity in that. See, if the rod of correction had been in the life, watch this. It does not mean that you go chase the green. It means that if you don't work in God, you can't produce the keys to heaven to unlock the gate. See, what happens is your work. The Bible says work as if you're working unto God. That means if the wages of sin is death, you know Satan has confused some people so much when they're juvenile state and he wants them to remain a child. Although naturally, they see I have matured. But God does not judge the, thank you God, the outer. God judges the inner. So it don't matter how much your natural flesh has aged. It gets wrinkled and we try and cover it up. The spirit man is what God is basing on this on.
Amen.
Children, even if your parents are not in God, that is not an excuse for you not to be in God. Grow up. Talking to the children now. Oh, everybody, children on the phone, cool, I'm talking to you. Grow up. Stop using mommy and daddy as a crutch, as a prop, as a reason to not be in God. I wasn't raised in a godly household. Mr. Carr, you had a godly mother. Even if I didn't have a godly mother, let me tell you something about my personal life. My mother wasn't in God like I was in God. I got up at the age of 14, 15, driving to church. I put it on the line because I wanted God. In other words, I didn't get in trouble for going to the club. If I was going to get in trouble, I was getting in trouble for going to church. I had a learner's permit at 14, 15, and I would drive to church. My mother was a police officer. She was tired. I left her and my sister in bed, and I got up.
Right.
Church was about 5 minutes away. I kid you not, I would drive every Sunday on my own. That's not a pat on the back. What I'm saying is, children, just because mom and daddy won't go, see, mom and daddy would not be in judgment with you, children.
Come on.
Let me help the children down. Mom and daddy won't be in judgment with you. If you become married, that's the only thing that will be one with you in the day of judgment.
Come on.
That means if mom and daddy don't go, I'm gone. You have to know God for yourself, children. Here's the beautiful thing about this topic, spare the rod, spoil the child. It proves that God is all our parents because some people don't even know who their biological is. As a matter of fact, some people have never met them. Whether it be through adoption, the parents gave them up, don't cry, or, watch this, parents just didn't make it. But did the parents didn't make it? Or did God set it up like that? Because God wanted to say, he said, I'll never leave nor forsake you, even if your mother and your father. In other words, I am your daddy, and I'll never leave you. So even naturally, if you don't have a parent, I am your Lord. You catching this, children?
Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to help us out, because even if you have a natural mom and daddy, if they turn the bottle up, or if they just have ways that they may bust the church open, but not in God, that still is not an excuse. It's just like somebody who said, well, my parents not here no more. I never knew my dad. He was gone at the age of three. The thing is, baby, yes, you should know your daddy, because your daddy sits high and looks low. That's your daddy. Allow him to correct you. Trust me, he checks on you every day. He's with you all the time. It gets no better parenting than that.
Amen.
Y'all follow where I'm going with this?
Yes, sir.
This is essential because we want to remove the excuses as children. I'm talking to us, children. We want to remove those excuses because that does not work with God. And the last thing that we want is to have an easy class but a hard examination. Let me say this, Mr. DJ. In other words, I don't want to go all year playing, and then on test day, I can't pass.
Right.
See, give me the hard class. Uh-huh. Discipline me, God. Chastise me, God. Give me the hard class so I'm used to it on exam day.
All right.
The child would appreciate it. Children, you should appreciate it. Even if you lack discipline from them, you sure ain't lacking it from God, because you have a Bible. You got some instruction. See, God said, Lord Jesus, thank you for revelation. Watch this. Watch this. Let me show you. The Bible said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Children, look at your responsibility as a child to honor and obey your parents. He's talking about himself.
Amen.
And it produces the natural manifestation of obeying your parents. As long as your parents, you got to know this for yourself, kids. As long as your parents line up with God, you line up with them. If they were to line up with their world, their faith, with their flesh, with their ways, you better not line up with them. Yes, children, I'm talking to the children. Parents, at this time, if you don't want them here, this might be the time that you get them off the phone, because I'm about to speak some truth that you may not like. If your mom and daddy don't line up with God, you better not listen to your mom and daddy. Now, go ahead and get mad at Mr. Carr. Because parents, if you want them to obey you and you're not lining up with God, why on God's green earth do you say you serve God?
Right.
Anybody responsible would say, hey, if I'm not lining up with God, don't you line up with me. As a matter of fact, I say it quite frequently. Word God, grace our lips, so that every word that comes out may produce glory for you. If it don't look like you, sound like you, if it don't live like you, Father God, shut our mouth. In other words, follow me as I follow God. If I don't follow God, don't you follow me.
Yes.
You got a problem with that one, parents? See, what happens is we want to be the God in their life. See, I don't know if y'all missed the topic that said misery loves company. But don't you know parents can be miserable and want their children to go to hell too?
Come on.
Don't be so selfish. You know how you have people that say, if I can't have you, nobody else can? No, if you can't have their attention, let God get it.
Yes, Lord.
I'm trying to help somebody out. I'm trying to help somebody out. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that's a hard pill because they came from me. They ain't come from you. They came from God. God just used you. You do understand this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know some people believe in that medical stuff. But then explain Mary. You talking about that's a different God? No, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Explain Mary. That literally happened. Children, if it don't line up with God, you better not line up with it. See, the problem is, children start to line up with what mom and daddy say. Hence, they get in these bad relationships and start lining up with eventual what spouse say, and they're not even equally yoked. This is why they start to accept anything that does not look like God, because the way they was raised.
Come on.
Hello? Because if you train them right to only reverence and respect God, and in doing so, the things that God placed in front, that don't mean they disrespect you because you're not in God. They just know they know how to handle you. That means they don't listen to your words, because I know you're not about to tell me to go in this store and go steal. I'm not doing it.
Yes.
You're not going to tell me that it's okay not to pay my credit card bill. I'm not doing it. That's not godly parenting. And go ahead and be truthful and honest. You know we'll tell our children that only because I will benefit. Don't worry about that bill. We'll get that later. I need you to... No, it ain't.
Mm-mm.
Why you use their name on their credit card anyway? Put them in jeopardy and put them... Man, don't do that. Huh? Y'all with it this morning?
Yes,
children,
sir.
We have a responsibility as well. Because if mom and daddy missed it, that's okay. Don't be mad. But you can also help mom and daddy out, i.e. Jesus.
Yes.
But you have to mature, children. But here's the beautiful thing about it that I was getting to. Just because you have a parent don't mean that you have a parent. See, some people was born physically without one. Some people have the physical one but don't have the spiritual one. So what's the difference? My God.
Come on.
Huh? One exists, but one don't live. Oh, man, what's the difference? Huh? Look. One exists. See, let me give you the two scenarios. Children without parent. One has a existing parent, but not a spiritual one. One doesn't have an existing parent, so you know the spiritual one, they can only, you know how people say, boy, that's my grandmama, I hit my grandmama. See, don't you know that one cannot have a natural parent, but spiritually they hear him? Lord, catch this, y'all. What's the difference between those who are lost with parent, without parent, and they don't even hear their parent, versus one who have parent and don't hear their parent? There's no difference. The only difference is one exists, but neither one of them live.
Come on.
Because if you're not living in God and doing godly parenting, you're not living, huh?
All right.
You're not living. Spare the rod, spare the child. Children, we have a whole bunch of responsibility on us. That means even if you have the natural existing parent, but you don't have the spiritual parent, don't you fret. That means God has given you a great responsibility. That means he trusts you to go by what you see on the internal. He trusts your spirit more than he trusts your flesh. Some people need the natural mom and daddy to be in God. Others, God says, I'm going to take that away from you. You may have mom and daddy physically present, but they're not in God. But see, I want to touch you because I know what you're up. God will pull you out of being a childish individual. He will pull you out of the world. Even though you have some natural stuff, he'll pull you up out of it because you have it, but is it living?
Come on.
Because the Bible that I read says faith without works is dead. They exist, but are they living? They living? Living waters. Huh? Because anything that's going to heaven is living. Please don't say, well, my mom, that's my mom and daddy, now you better hold on. No, that's God's child. Huh?
Yeah.
And the Bible literally tells us, just because you're children, huh, don't let anyone assert their authority. In other words, just because you're a child by natural status, natural stature, does not mean that you can't speak an authoritative word.
Come on.
Just because you're a child. Don't let anyone put that to the shame. Oh, because I'm the baby, I'm the youngest. Because that's mom and daddy. Mom and daddy, I respect that. I'm going to let y'all talk. Y'all do what y'all do. You mind if I get a word in? I mean, when y'all finish? And do it respectfully. Huh? Well, mom, I can't do that. Now, don't act like you ain't never go against parents' wills, because when they told you not to date their little boy, you did it. So why is it when God tell you to do something, you listen to mom and daddy, and it's polar opposite of what he said to do? If I'm going to get lashed and whipped, that's when I'm going to get lashed and whipped, for doing the right thing, the righteous thing. See, children, we have a responsibility. In other words, if mom and daddy didn't give you God the right way, the living quarters, the headquarters, the waters of God, that means you are responsible for getting God on your own. It's okay, though. Favor ain't fair. Just because you got to work a little harder, it is what it is. But you're still responsible, children. That's not on mom and daddy. You can't use that excuse, well, you had an advantage. No. And please don't use it with me. I didn't.
Come on.
Y'all follow me? Spare the rod,
yes,
or the child. Miss Tiana, you want to go ahead and pray for us?
Yes. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly, truly thank you for the word that's gone forth. You, Heavenly Father, ensure that we have access to your word. May we use it, dear Lord. You have given us the authority to use your word, to know your word. Your word, Heavenly Father, is there for us to be taught. It's there for us to be rebuked. It's there for us to be corrected. It's there for us to be trained. Heavenly Father, may we use your word to remove the foolishness from our hearts. May we use it to ensure that we live a spiritual life. And may we use it so that we are walking in the right path, just as you have guided so many, may we follow your guidance to fulfill on this purpose that you have for us in this life. We thank you again for this word. We thank you for our leader. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, y'all, stay right there. Those who want to extend, we're going to do some prayer in a second, some open line, you know, communication. Communicate what God has given you about this topic, something that you heard this morning that you want to celebrate. There's a testimony. It's a testament to your life. Or even very well, something that you want to share that we didn't say, something that you didn't understand. If you didn't understand the scripture, it's okay. Okay? This is what the Bible says, and all I get an understanding. The Bible says that wise men seek wise counsel. Stop asking the wrong people for things that do not understand God, unless you want that type of answer. I'm just reminded, Miss Tiana, when, you know, this is the, watch this, growth and maturity versus immaturity. Miss Tiana, if I love you today, I love you tomorrow and forevermore. Remember, y'all, love, L-O-V-E, God. God is love. The Bible says, if a man knoweth not love, he knoweth not God.
Yes.
He knoweth not God, he knoweth not. Listen, how can I love her today and hate her tomorrow?
Yes.
If I'm mature.
Right.
But God doesn't change. You will encounter a lot in life, but people love you today. And then you will kind of encounter a lot. Come on, parents. Parents, children will tell you, you ain't my friend, because they don't understand.
Yes.
Huh? You know how many people will tell you as an adult, come on, spare the rod, spoil the child, because they're still childish? Just because they're 47 years old, 60 years old, don't mean that they're mature. That means their flesh has aged. Don't mean that they are mature. God defines what is mature, right? Now watch this.
Yes.
Huh? Well, girl, you ain't have to do that. That ain't no friend. How can they define what a true friend is if they still childish? Meaning in the world.
Mm.
In other words, you ever seen where people love you today and give you and break their back for you, but do something they don't like? Now, they immature now. Chastise them. And watch how they start reverting back to their childish ways. But you can't revert back to, in other words, I can't go in my refrigerator and pour beer out of my refrigerator if I didn't put it in there. If it's not in them no more, how can they revert back to it?
Right.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm trying to help somebody. If it's not in you, how can you revert back to being childish? When people change, that mean they childish. Indian givers, I give and then I take, I give, and that's childish. That's what the world does. God does not give a gift that he does not allow you to keep. As a matter of fact, Satan still, Lord, catch this, y'all. Satan still has the same gifts that God gave him, but they're rendered powerless. Simply, why you think God forces the hand of his children? He's training us up in the wilderness. Yes, he is. Why you think God forces our hand? Satan, he said, be as wise as a serpent, but as humble as a dove. He lacks humility. He does not lack wisdom. Oh, my God. God forces us to be wise and humble. Not just wise, but humble as well. He don't force us just to be humble without wisdom. He forces the two, because you will run into a devil that you need both of them with.
Come on.
Now, somebody immature said, thank you, Jesus. See, I be running into them devils, them women's all the time. And they get on my nerve, Mr. Carr. Thank you, God, for revelation. See, you immature. Because, see, this wisdom, this understanding has nothing to do with your self-gain. Remember, you hate yourself. I know some people don't like that. But somebody then told you to love yourself. But did it come from God? Because if you love yourself, how can you love yourself and God at the same time? It don't work. Didn't he say, lean not to your own understanding? If you love yourself, whatever you love is what you're going to give way to. So how can you love you and God at the same time? I can't. Anybody can? Please press star 5. Don't be mute now. And then call me later talking about, well, you can. Tell me right now in front of everybody. See, we want to talk behind closed doors. Tell me how you can love yourself and God. Jesus didn't love himself on that cross. He loved God. He almost loved himself by saying, Father, will you pass this bitter cup from me? But as a child, he stayed in his place. He said, Father, let your will be done.
Yes.
Look how he called him, Father, let your will be done. In other words, Daddy, parent, have your way, because I know your way is perfect.
All right.
Star 5, prayer request, testimony, something that you don't understand, something you want to share. Something you want to add? We got Miss Tiana.
Yeah, no, this amazing, amazing word. And I look, this particular topic has just continues to intrigue me, because not everyone loves and appreciates discipline. And I know that I've always been one who didn't always like it. And I've had to learn to understand that it's not to hurt me, it's to make me stronger. And discipline in itself is something we should all seek, because why wouldn't we want to do better, especially in the face of the Father? So many look at discipline as being in the face of a person, and we miss on who God is sending our way to ensure that we're doing right. But we have to know Him. We need to know God to understand where that correction is coming from. And I so appreciate that we've been focused on that correction is the Word of God. That correction comes from God. That correction is God. It is not what the world takes away as some sort of physical corporal punishment, is what many take away this spare the rod, spoil the child to be. But actually it is that training, that correction, that rebuke. So greatly appreciate it. Right now we do have two callers who have raised their hands in the car.
Okay, that's good.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Want to say thank you for the call. This has been a great call that we are receiving. And for, I guess I have a question. I have a son. He asks me for things dealing with my grandchildren, but I don't give it to him or assist in it. But he goes to my mother, which is the great-grandmother. To me, that's a problem. So how should I handle that, or tell her to handle that?
Okay. That, all right. That's a great question. Here's the deal. Much like water, it would go through the easiest accessible thing to get in. That's what water does. Okay. Satan goes through the weaker as well. Y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is how Satan operates. Okay. Not calling your son Satan. However, if the mature way is this, Mama, do you mind if I ask Granny or Granddad? That would be the mature way. See, I would first go to him. Go to him first, and then go to your grandma. I mean, go to the mama, your mother, his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all listen to this. Wise men seeks wise counsel. Look at how I just diffuse the whole situation. So now you address the two. And if it should continue, you can address the two again. Okay? Son, if I tell you no, I'm telling you no for a reason. That don't mean go behind my back and ask anyone else. As your mother, respect what I just said. If I'm telling you no, you know, it's no. Now, if God wants to redirect you, I'll tell you, hey, I don't. But let me talk with your grandmother, you know, or you can go in. As a matter of fact, let me talk to your grandmother. Let me see if I can get it from her or something like that. Because if you start bridging the gap between the two, which they should have a relationship, and there's nothing wrong with that. But see, what will happen is somebody start overriding what mama say.
Right.
It's called a chain of command. Even in people's infinite wisdom, it's much like this. If you keep on telling me, and I'm married to you, ma'am, to go to your sister, if you keep on telling me that, eventually I'm going to go to your sister without your consent. So what does it do for you and I's marriage?
Put a strain on it.
Right. I should always come to my wife. She should always come to me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that child should always go to you first. You correct it, and you use your godly parenting skill set, how God tells you to do it or not to do it, and to tell them where not to go if ever that should reoccur, because it's all for a reason. Sometimes they need to be explained to. Sometimes they already know. It's also your responsibility to reiterate, hey, I said no for a reason. Now, if I should see this, we're going to have a problem. Yes, you're an adult in your natural sense, but here's the thing. If God is saying no, maybe God wants you to get something else out of this. So it's no. Don't mess up God's plan.
All right. And one more question. With my mother, if she see that the grandkids need something, she just do, but we have a, me and her bump heads because they have parents. They should be doing, she's overstepping her bounds.
And that happens quite often because of a grandparent's love. So they seem to think what love is. You know, grandparents tend to do more for the grandkids than they ever did for their child. I just want y'all to know that. You know, the children, you the demons. The grandchildren are the love of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Totally different. They would knock you upside your head, but create a pillow of feathers for them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
Becomes their buddies. That's their entertainment system. They don't even have to watch TV. They just watch them grandkids. You understand? With that being said, you have to handle that in God and God only. Okay, it's very important how you handle that strategically. You have to be the example of God. In other words, a lot of times it's simply no disrespect to anybody, but see, the Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. Well, people say the matters of the heart. In other words, their natural heart, their natural emotions can get away of their spiritual insight. It can get in the way. So what they see as struggle, they want to step in and intervene. Or they just want to do beforehand anyways. Well, struggle is good. Because I do believe the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, long-suffering. It's good. Mama, you got to explain to her, Mama, and God. The Bible said, if you see your brother, meaning your mother too, in error, go to him in love. Go to them in God and restore them, lest ye be tempted and fail. Don't just go to the situation and try and block it. Go to where the situation came from. In other words, I don't just want to kill the rodent. I need to see where the hole it came from because I got to destroy the hole. I got to go to the source. Now, here comes your diligence. Now, that's your test. Now, you got to be that example. Remember, very well, just because mama's older, don't think that mama is mature because she can still have worldly views, meaning childish ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In other words, you ever seen children raising parents? You can have help mama out, come out of those worldly ways by your godly antics. But it has to be trained. Because the Bible said train up a child. It didn't say who was the parent. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say who was the adult. The Bible said train up a child in the way that they should go. He's talking to the parents. If you have God's authority, y'all better catch what I'm saying. She's about to make me preach. It's cool. But watch this. Catch what I'm saying, y'all. If you have godly authority, that means you ever seen the big one versus the little one? You ever seen this sister? But she looked like she big sister because of the way she walked, talked, think, understand. She looked like she the oldest. Well, if that be with a child, don't tell me what God can't do with a child versus the natural parent.
Amen.
He said, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. You can be training mama by the way you address mama. Mom, and be consistent. Mama, 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 every single day. See, what happens is children want you to bow down. Y'all ever seen how people do it so wrong so many times they don't want you to say nothing? You better address it every day.
Uh-huh.
If you do it every day, I'm going to address it every day. But do it in God. Do it in love. And restore them. It's not to condemn them. You know, condemnation is to tear down when you condemn a building. It's to build them up. So you very well may tear down to build it up. Not tear down in the sense of I'm going to tell you about yourself. No. Let me remove some stuff that you don't need in your life. Oh, and the foundation, good. But I need to get rid of them walls. Your intent may be spot on, but this is not the time, Mom. And you got to train that thing up right. And training, if you know anything about training, you have to be consistent as a trainer because you can't train somebody when you don't look like the picture of health yourself.
Right. Amen. Well, thank you.
And be 4'5", no disrespect to nobody, but I can't be 4'5", with 60 pieces of body fat talking about, yeah, come on, crunch. The only thing I done crunched was got that crunch Captain D's crunch sandwich, that's it. Mm-hmm. Don't act like you don't know what that is or not. Mm-hmm. Talking about this on the 99-cent menu, you know. Go ahead. All right, you had any other questions?
Yep, we have one more caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing wonderful.
Great,
yourself?
Thank you.
Doing good. Doing good. I just had a comment on Miss Tiana. Did you say you didn't like being disciplined as a child? Is that, am I saying that correct?
Say that again.
You say you didn't like being disciplined as a child?
Correct.
Okay. So I was going to comment on that. I mean, I was the same way as a child. I didn't like being disciplined because I didn't like the whooping, basically. You know, but I tell these kids today, my nieces and nephews that I'm around every day, you know, there's nothing wrong with being disciplined. Like Tellius was saying that, you know, there are parents that want to be their child's friend instead of being, when kids say, you know, you're not my friend if you don't do what they want you to do. You know, I had my nieces and nephews, they're 5, 6, and 9, you know, the 5 and 6 year old, that's things that they say, but I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to be your friend, I'm your aunt. And me and my sister, we're just preparing you for this world right now and how it is, you know, and I'm preparing you also, you know, my mom prepared us, I can say she's prepared us spiritually, but my dad was not that spiritual, you know, person. My mom was that Christian in the house, even though my dad was a PK kid, but he was not that person to go to church and, you know, things of that nature. But my mom prepared us, you know, spiritually, and as I got older, I was able to, you know, talk to my nieces and nephews about, you know, God and what we did when we were young. And I'm glad that, I know I'm all over the place, but it's just my dad, he was very strict. There was 5 girls and 2 boys. And when I look back, I would tell my younger sisters, I say, I'm glad that, you know, he was very strict on us. There was no teen pregnancy. There was no drug use. You know, there was none of that. And we couldn't even spend the night at nobody's house, not even, you know, relatives. So I'm glad he was strict on us, you know, to a certain point, because I'm able to teach the kids that we have now, you know, about life, period, and about God. I say back then, you know, giving, I didn't know what giving was. My grandmother, I was sitting right behind my grandmother. She would give me, I was the oldest out of the 2 younger, so she would give me money to put in church, and when I didn't put all of it, she knew it. That's why she gave me change, because I wanted to go to the store during break time. But she would tap me on my leg, you know, put all this in church. But I know now, you know, the meaning of tithing. I know the meaning of an offering. And, you know, some churches ask for a love offering. I don't know the meaning of that yet. So, you know, better ride on spoil the child. I was stubborn. You know, my mom didn't like whooping us. But in a way, I'm glad she did. It hurt. But I was, like I said, that stubborn one. So she was like, she would always say in between the whoopings, if I don't whoop you, I don't love you. I'm like, what is this woman talking about? You whooping me here, I'm crying. You don't love me, you know, but she did. I think it hurt her more than it hurt us when we got a whooping. So, and on top of that note, in regards to my coworker, I know I was talking about him having that major stroke. His brother gives us an update, you know, for everyone on Facebook every time he speaks live. And so he's doing a little bit, he's still stable. Now he's sitting up. He's opened his eyes. So, you know, God is good. God is good. So he's getting there slowly but surely. And he was letting us also know that they'll be selling, like, fish dinners. So he's still, he was over his foot, there's a football league within his neighborhood. And his 3 young sons are on that football team. And, you know, his frat brothers, they coach also. But we're still keeping it going for him. We're still keeping his GoFundMe. So, you know, God is awesome. So he's coming along. He's coming along slowly but surely. And hopefully, you know, when he does come out of this, like Kelly said it before, you know, when they pray for him the first time, that he comes out, you know, a changed, I could say a changed man, you know, more in God, basically. Just more in God. So I just want to say thank you for you guys for your prayers, and thank you for whoever's on the line, you know, that's not with that, somebody that, you know, for your prayers. So thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Well, that's, thank you for the testimony, and it's necessary, y'all. All I can do is sit back and let God flow. You never know anybody's story and everybody's situation. I mean, it's touching some depth, and it's important that we all understand, you know, even as we're talking about this topic, the parental things, the parental responsibilities, and also the responsibility of the child. Extremely important, and she just great made a great point. Because y'all know we do this as adults now. Why do you think so many people have a problem paying tithes? As if they, and then don't, you know, we come with excuses. We pay our hairdresser before we pay God. Y'all know that? We pay our mom, pay God. And here's the excuse. Well, God know my heart. Well, hold on. But why do you give all that to, God gave you the skill set. He gave you the life. He gave you the platform, meaning the job to work. How is it that we don't give it to God? Watch this. Watch the upbringing. Watch this. Watch up the temperament. You know, you do a dog test. You can check the dog's temperament. Let the dog eat. They put a stick, a rubber hand on a stick, and they kind of move the plate and see how that, if that dog growls or if it snaps or if the dog just continue eating or step back. You can check the temperament of something, how it was raised. Some things are in your DNA, your blood. Spiritually, has to be uprooted. Yeah. Watch this now. Grandmama can give you a dollar. Boy, God, I'm raising my hand and feet. Boy, grandmama give me one. I'm looking like you're going to give me some more later, because if not, I ain't. In other words, we start being trained up front because we don't see what else they have. We want them to give us the $2 and say, hey, put one in church. And then we'll put that one in church for some of us. But we're trying to be men and women at a young age and don't know what we're doing. Hence, we start to age naturally and we don't pay tithes simply because we ain't trust God then when he used grandmama and granddaddy, daddy and mama to give us money, and we ain't have money, but we put stuff in church, but we was thinking about us. See how we love ourselves so much? See, look at that. Look at the correction now. Somebody got to tell you and make you put that in. Whether you get or not, you better put it in. The fact that you got a house is enough. In other words, the fact that you have life, pay your tithes.
Yes.
Oh, y'all missed that, huh?
Come on.
Y'all missed that, huh? Pay your tithes and offering. We do everything else but do the right things. And this is the epitome of childishness. The Bible said, do others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want God to pour into you, why you can't pour into God? We want people to pour into us, but we can't pour into them. Stop letting them people cut your grass for free. That's not right. They got a family too. See, that's a childish mentality. Stop wanting God to do everything for you, and you don't do nothing for God. You do know that you can bless God too, right?
Yeah, come on.
Well, I don't trust Mr. Carr. I don't trust people. That's why I don't sow into. So how God trusts you? I'm going to stop right there before we go any further, because we got a tonight's talk. Miss Tiana. Miss Jennifer, thank you for calling in. And we'll see y'all later on tonight. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.